Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Our first case for this morning is United States against James Hardiman. Mr. Schultz.
May it please the court, counsel for the government, Todd Schultz, assistant federal public defender, arguing on behalf of the defendant appellant. The district court in this case abused its discretion in imposing a below-guideline sentence of 120 months. To be clear, the abuse of discretion was not that the court varied downward, but rather that the court did not vary downward far enough. The court began the sentencing hearing by accurately calculating the defendant's guideline range. It was determined that he was a career offender. His range was thus 151 to 188 months. After considering the sentencing factors, the district court concluded that a guideline sentence was not necessary to meet the goals and purposes of the sentencing statute and imposed a below-guideline sentence of 121 months. Below-guideline sentences, similar to within-guideline sentences, enjoy a presumption of reasonableness before this court. It's my understanding that this court has never found a within-guideline sentence to be substantively unreasonable.
Or below. I mean, the problem is this, as I see it. The district court's reason for the 120-month sentence, even though it was an extremely small amount of crack, 0.6 grams, is that Mr. Hardiman apparently has been incorrigible. I mean, he's got quite a criminal history, so even though it's a small amount, the court thought that this kind of sentence was necessary to deter him from returning to this life. I mean, what gives us the authority to say, oh, well, you know, we think a different sentence would be better?
Well, we're not asking this court to substitute its judgment for the district court. We're simply asking that this court would engage in a reasoned weighing of the pertinent sentencing factors and conclude that the downward variance of 120 months is not sufficient.
But you are asking us then to, I mean, if you want to ask us that, go ahead. But, I mean, don't tell us you're not asking us to disagree with the district court's balancing. That's just what you're asking.
Well, right, maybe I didn't state it accurately. I'm just suggesting that this court engage in a reasoned weighing of the sentencing factors, and we believe that when it does that, that it will conclude that this sentence is shockingly high and grossly overstates the seriousness of the conduct involved. With respect to the defendant's criminal history, I can't deny that he has a serious criminal history.
And I have to say, disturbed at the least at his attitude toward the domestic violence. You know, like, oh, well, it was just a physically violent relationship with my wife, and it was his. I don't sense any contrition about that or even any sense that this was wrong.
Your Honor, in reviewing the transcript, I am familiar with those remarks. With respect to his criminal history and those five domestic batteries, all felonies which involved his now deceased wife, I would just point out that as with much of his criminal history, it is remote in time, Your Honor. I believe the most recent of those domestic batteries was some 13 years ago. And those five domestic batteries occurred over a relatively brief time span. I think they all occurred over 3 years ago. And so one of the points that I wanted to make here this morning is, while he has qualifying convictions, they are almost so old, I believe some of them 12 or 13 years old, that they would not count for career offender purposes. And so I think that is a factor which I think in part led the court to conclude that a below-guideline sentence was warranted. Also, when you look at his criminal history over the last decade, I believe the only crime he has been convicted of is a misdemeanor domestic battery, and he did violate the conditions of his parole on a state offense by using drugs and violating the conditions of his electronic monitoring. But I think it is significant that when the court is understandably troubled by the comments with respect to his domestic battery, perhaps he chose his words poorly, but I think if you judge him by his actions over the last 10 years or so, it would seem to indicate that particular issue is no longer a problem for him. As the court knows, recidivism rates generally decrease with age, and that would certainly appear to be true with respect to this particular defendant. One of the things that the court has mentioned is the small amount of crack cocaine that we're talking about in this case. It's a 0.6 grams of crack cocaine, and as is reflected in the pre-sentence report under 2D1.1, an individual like the defendant in criminal history category 6 would ordinarily be looking at...
You're just asking us to exercise the discretion that the district judge is supposed to exercise. You haven't pointed to any error, abuse of discretion that he made. You just disagree with his weighting of the various factors. You can certainly consider, you know, events that occurred 13 years ago or 20 years ago.
Your Honor, he absolutely can, but I would suggest that it's more than a simple disagreement with the district court's exercise of his discretion. I think specifically in the brief we argue that the district court's reliance on the career offender guideline itself, that the district court put undue reliance on that guideline, and as a result...
What do you mean by undue reliance?
We mean that the court, in looking to the guidelines as a starting point, made a determination that a guideline sentence was not appropriate. But you have a situation then where the guideline sentence that the court has found not to be appropriate begins at 151 months. You also have an offense which would ordinarily carry or be an advisory range of 24 to 30 months. So what we're suggesting is that the penalty, the guideline range, which the court rejected, which starts at 151 months, is shockingly high. And so that even though the court did ultimately come down to 120 months, it's still our position that it didn't do so far enough. And we believe that is because even though it rejected the career offender guideline, it still clearly was using it as a frame of reference and put great weight on a guideline it chose not to follow in this particular case. One of the other things that the court talked about in announcing its 10-year sentence was the sentencing consideration of the need for general and specific deterrence. And the court indicated that a 10-year sentence, a harsh sentence, was necessary for purposes of general deterrence. This idea that a harsh sentence for a low-level drug dealer will provide general deterrence is at odds with the insight offered by the Sentencing Commission, which has stated that incapacitating low-level drug dealers like the defendant in this case has virtually no impact on crime.
Well, you know, the Sentencing Commission may be correct about that, but on the other hand, the Supreme Court has said that individual district court judges are entitled to disagree with the Sentencing Commission's assessment of how long a sentence should be, and people like that when they disagree down, and they don't like it maybe when it's not down far enough. But the court has said that district court judges have that flexibility.
I agree. The court is correct that the judge certainly had the discretion.
Was the Sentencing Commission talking about East St. Louis?
Was it talking about East St. Louis specifically? I don't believe so, Your Honor. I think it was.
Well, it might have been talking about the nation as a whole, but there are very, very different crime levels and drug activities in different parts of the country. And East St. Louis is a, you know, very crime-ridden area.
If I see that I'm into my rebuttal time, if there are no
additional... You may save your... unless there are other questions. All right, thank you. Ms. Morrissey.
May it please the court. Counsel for the defense. Your Honor, the issue before the court is whether Judge Reagan abused his discretion when he sentenced Mr. Hardiman to a sentence well below the guideline range that applied in this case. And I think the answer to that is no. as
I think maybe the best I can make of Mr. Hardiman's argument is that if the court is really going to reject the career offender characterization, isn't it intellectually inconsistent not to go down to the much lower range that the guidelines would recommend? He's neither fish nor fowl in the way he says he's rejecting it, but he doesn't really reject it. He sticks with it.
He certainly, the court certainly recognized that Mr. Hardiman had a life of crime, and he certainly recognized that his life of crime, I think it was 9 or 7 qualifying career offender convictions, I think 17 total convictions over his adult life. The judge said he was a career offender in not just the guideline definition manner, but also in a common sense understanding of the term. I think the judge, while he rejected that a sentence of 151 months was necessary, he certainly could also recognize that Mr. Hardiman had lived a life of crime.
Can you remind me how old Mr. Hardiman was at the time of sentencing?
I believe he was 56. If I calculated right, he will be out and at about, yes, he was 56 at the time. He'll be out at about the age of 64, assuming good time, and it could be even less than that if he would take advantage of the drug program that the court encouraged him to take advantage of. But, Your Honor, I think both Judge Wood and Judge Posner have recognized that really the defendant is asking this court to substitute its discretion for that of the district judge, but he can't point to anything in particular that would lead the court to need to do that. The court clearly considered the low weight of the drugs. He mentions that several times, and he certainly considered that his crimes had somewhat diminished, although I do take issue with that they had diminished to the degree that the defendant would suggest. His last discharge from parole was in March of 08, and he would have been about 50 at that time. So, and even after being discharged from parole the last time, within about a year and a half from that, at the age of 52, he committed another battery. So his age didn't diminish his violence or his acting out toward others. That particular battery did not involve a domestic situation. It involved Jimmy Mitchell, a person by the name of Jimmy Mitchell, who he pushed to the ground.
Involved a fight with what kind
it said of fight? The PSR indicated that the last offense, the battery before the distribution in this case, that the defendant intentionally caused bodily harm to Jimmy Mitchell and that he pushed him to the ground.
So in other words, it wasn't a woman he was beating up or a domestic battery. It was just some bar fight or something.
Right. I mean, suggestion is that somehow his domestic battery shouldn't be viewed so badly because they involve the same woman who was his wife.
I don't really follow that
logic either. And I would note, even if that were some kind of an argument, he had encounters with the police. He had encounters with other people. He, aggressively, his last felony conviction involved him forcefully entering into a car when a person by the name of Michael Taylor was occupying the car. So, anyway, I think, Your Honor, that the judge, Reagan, really gave considered consideration to all of the arguments raised by Mr. Hardiman, and he simply concluded that despite the low weight of the drugs, despite Mr. Hardiman's age and physical health, these other factors outweighed that, and that a significant sentence, even though substantially below the guideline sentence, was still warranted. I don't agree that this was a shockingly high sentence by any stretch of the imagination. When you have someone who was possibly looking at a low end of 188 before the enhancement notice was withdrawn. He gets down to 151, and he ends up with a sentence of 120 months.
What would the range have been without the career offender guideline?
I think it was 24, less than just around 3 years. So significantly different. But Congress has instructed the courts to consider criminal history and to sentence repeat offenders, particularly repeat violent offenders, drug trafficking offenders, toward the high end of the sentence. Mr. Hardiman's sentence was nowhere near the high end. It was 10 years, and the statutory range was 20. So again, I think the judge certainly showed, if anything, leniency to Mr. Hardiman. I also take issue with the idea that this amount of, the amount of crack cocaine was clearly low, but it was accompanied by a statement that he'd been doing this for 20 years to support his habit. And there was an argument, couple arguments that I'm sorry, I'm out of time. So
No, you're not, actually, not until the red light's on.
Oh, okay.
So if you want to wrap up, that's
Thank
fine.
You. Yeah, I'll wrap up. There was an argument that he sold, in this instance, to someone he knew, that somehow was mitigating. Well, I would suggest quite the opposite, that, that's how the police were able to catch Mr. Hardiman, was using someone he knew. He was clearly a well-seasoned criminal who knew how the system worked. I would also just submit, Your Honor, that there was a suggestion that he didn't do it for greed, that he did it for his own, to support his own habit. Well, that is greed. I mean, he's feeding that habit. So, the fact that he's poisoning other people in the process of supporting his own habit is hardly mitigating. So, for all these reasons, Your Honor, we would respectfully request that this court uphold the sentence of the district judge. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Schultz.
I have nothing further.
All right. Thank you very much. We appreciate your assistance. Thanks to both counsel. Take the case under advisement.